Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat.
And this is your other hostess, Hanako. The Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast is an audio program where we discuss your favorite and not so favorite science fiction TV shows and films.
And today we're discussing True Blood. It comes on Sundays on HBO at 9 p.m. EST. And today Hanako and I will be talking about two episodes because we filled you in before then. So now we're going to catch up on two.
Cool.
Yeah. So last we talked, Hanako, a lot of things went down. Lafayette got his, but we also found out Sookie gave Bill Hep V.
Oh, yeah. That kind of, that threw me. I was not expecting that twist. Because, of course, Sookie is she's the main character. She's the, I don't know if you want to call her the heroine. But, you know, that was a twist I was not expecting. And I have to admit, I was feeling some kind of way about the whole thing.
Yeah, they kind of brought it, you know how we talked about it starting to feel like season one again. So with the latest episode that we both just literally just got through watching.
Right.
She put on her little stupid white dress, ran through the cemetery for Bill. I love you, Bill. And then it was just like Sookie and Bill all over again. They kissed. We got to see them hump.
Yeah, but that was not as attractive with Hep V veins going through the body. It was not as it was not as good. But, you know, we talked about this the last episode we did on True Blood, and I said that it felt like they were trying to bring it back to Sookie and Bill. And I think with this episode, you kind of see it coming. And then when, you know, Grandpa Nile gives her that whole rundown about forgiveness and about love being the healer. I said, oh, okay, I can see where this going. And as soon as she walked out in that white nightgown, yeah, we're going back to season one. Here she goes doing her little awkward run through the graveyard.
Oh my God, that run and the way she stands, like, what is she doing?
I don't know. She has a very awkward, she stands really awkward, but that's just with everything. The way she walks is kind of, it's kind of delicate, but not. It's just, I don't know. It's really weird, but I don't know. But yeah, the whole Bill Sookie thing, we kind of saw coming.
Yeah. Why did we bring the fairy godfather in just to give her some Yoda, I can't help you type of crap? I don't know. He got a good spaghetti dinner out of it, which was rude, and then just told her, yeah, I saw you give him Hep B and I ain't doing anything to stop because I don't like you with him. Like, rude.
Right. I don't know. This was it just me, or did it seem like this episode just kind of, it dragged? It was like, it felt like a really, really long episode. There wasn't a lot of action. I mean, I guess there was a little bit of character development, but it was just, I don't know, something about this episode just kind of, I was looking at my watch or looking at my phone and the clock, like, okay, is the episode not over yet? I don't know. It felt really long.
I didn't feel that way. I mean, I know that it wasn't the most action-packed and it didn't have a lot of shock in it. But, I mean, between this one and that one, it was a lot of information. So, not only did Sookie give Bill Hep V, we saw Bill trying to settle his estate with a lawyer last time, remember? Yeah.
Yes, that didn't go over so well.
She wanted to extort him for $6 million, right? Or something? Some ridiculous amount of money.
I don't know what kind of attorney she was, but she obviously wasn't a very smart one.
No, not at all. And she could have had some help, made more money. She could have asked for a reasonable amount and people would have paid it. And instead, she's dead and now no one gets any help.
I don't know. I think Bill's... I don't know. This whole thing with Sarah Newland being the cure, and I have to say that those last 5 minutes with her, seeing Steve and the little yoga dude and Jason, and that whole thing was just hilarious because she's like really losing her mind now, and even in her time of reckoning, she's still trying to lie her way out of things. I've only been with two men in my life. Yeah, right.
Like, why does that even matter? We don't care about Sarah Newland's whatever. Why are we looking at her visions? Although the one with shirtless Jason was great.
Those are always great.
That was welcome, but I don't understand. Like, I want her to just get hooked up to a machine and drained and her blood synthesized. I don't really care about her character, and I want them to really stop with it.
You know, it's really sad how much this show makes us. I mean, you never want to wish anybody dead, but we have so many people. Like, okay, Violet needs to go.
Wait a second.
Although now I see where she's coming from. I see where she's going.
Wait a
with
second.
Adeline, but yes, let's talk about this 50 Shades of Grey.
Let's talk about that. So Violet. So wait. Last episode, you and I did some really great predictions, okay? So the prediction I made was that Violet was going to do something to the Belfleur family. And I thought she was going to take the fairy and drain her because she's a fairy and that would hurt Jessica. Your prediction was that Sarah Newland was going to be the cure. Yeah. And so those things came true, and I was very excited that we just throwing crap out there and it hit the wall and we were right, and I was satisfied with that. But Violet, so I haven't liked her character, but
at all.
No, but when we walked into her home with her elaborate dungeon, I was just like, okay,
let me tell you how funny that moment was. I was watching that episode with my daughter.
Oh dear.
So all of a sudden, here comes the screen, and there's a swing, and there's dildos, and there's like dildos that, okay, I know people who sell, who do like the passion parties and this.
Yes.
I've never seen a huge wooden dildo like that. Like, who uses that? She can't use it. It's wood. If she gets a splinter, she's done. Who uses a wood dildo? What? But you know,
super
maybe it wasn't for her.
It with your offspring, I mean,
you know,
awkward.
But you know what? Not really, because these are my 16-year-old and my 18-year-old. I'm a little bit more flexible with what they watch because they're a little more mature, and they don't look at that stuff and like, oh, I want to. You know, they look at that like, oh, okay, they're having sex again. Can we just fast forward? You know, they just kind of look at it and they just don't pay attention to it. So she was just looking at that like, oh, okay. We see she's been around the block a few times and she went back to Candy Crush. So it was kind of, but it was just weird because all of a sudden both of us are looking at the screen like, whoa.
But it's like she has her home set up for elaborate love making. Like, so what was she doing before she got captured? Like, who was she? How did this happen?
You don't even have to wonder, because of the way that she took charge of Jason, you know she was the dominatrix.
Okay.
Because when they were in the vampire prison, she claimed Jason right off the bat, and her whole attitude towards him has been, he's her property. That's one of the reasons why he's still drawn to Jessica, and he's not really feeling the whole Violet thing, because she treats him like he's a thing and not that he's a person to love. In her mind, loving and owning him or controlling him is the same thing. So, you know, and then of course, now we see what she's like in her life away from there, which, okay, if she has that great a mansion, why are they staying in Jason's rinky-dink little house? That's what I want to know.
Well, maybe she wanted to stay near Jason, make him feel comfortable, let him feel like he was in control. She was probably trying something new, giving her guy a little bit more flex. That's, if she is that controlling, that's probably the most freedom one of her men has ever had, ever. And it just did not work out because she, while letting him have some freedom, still wasn't enough for Jason, and it went awry.
Let me ask you something. When in the history of Jason Stackhouse do you think he would not want to move from his rinky-dink little house to a house that's got a full-on sex chamber in the house? This is Jason we're talking about. She might have been able to hold on to him a little bit more if he'd seen that side of her. He's
You
like,
know,
"Oh,
you have a
okay."
point. Yeah, I have a point.
I
I
mean,
was
think
just trying
about
to
it.
figure out what she was going through and why she did not take him to the dungeon sex chamber, because that he, yeah.
I mean, think about it. Season one with Maudette Pickens with the handcuffs. I'm just saying, Jason would have enjoyed that.
Wow. So this was I think this is an oversight of the writers,
Yeah,
honestly.
probably. I mean, look, they've got what, 3 episodes left? Let's just throw a little sex chamber in. Okay.
Why not? Yeah. We need
Okay.
a dungeon.
I'm gonna tell you the whole thing that bothers me about that whole scene, because Andy's daughter still, even though she's in a, well, one, she's a teenager. She's in a teenage body. So I feel weird even looking at her scenes where she's in bra and panties. But still, she's 3 weeks old, technically. So it feels double dirty. And then she's in this room and she's got handcuffs, pink fuzzy handcuffs, and she's
They're
holding a
fuzzy.
dildo. And it's
They're
just,
toys.
yes, but I. You know, if you want to show me a scene like that with those kind of things, give me Eric or Pam or Jason or even Lafayette. I don't want to see somebody who looks younger than my daughter in a room like
Yeah,
that. That's just weird.
I didn't
It's
want
just weird.
to. Yeah,
It's just.
I really appreciated how they kind of handled it. Like they were young and they got thrown into this really ridiculous room that was over the top, and she read his brain. He was like, "I'm not into this." She's like, "Oh my God, I'm not either." And I was like,
Yes.
"Well, thank God we didn't have to see these kids, because that's gross."
Yes. But that whole situation is kind of, I mean, your parents are engaged and here you are playing, and then Violet's whole line about the fact that when she was their age, she used to fuck her brother too. I was like, okay, this is just, no, I'm not watching Game of Thrones. I'm watching True Blood. I don't want to see this.
Eric did that.
Well, but see, Nora was not his actual sister,
Well,
so.
maybe that wasn't his at her actual brother. I'm gonna hope for that. Okay? So because that's just the way I'm gonna sleep tonight.
Okay,
Okay?
I got you.
Let me have
Okay, now, boys.
points.
I love having him back on the show, but it's killing me to see him not know who Jason is, and it's just, I don't know. I'm kind of hoping that whole situation will resolve itself, but I have a feeling Hoyt's girlfriend is about to flip the script.
I think that I may be in love with Hoyt as a character. I think he feels like a boyfriend. Like when I saw him, I wanted to hug him. I felt like a real attachment to his return, and I didn't realize that. I was just like, what is it about him
I was the
that,
same way. I was the
yeah.
same way when Maxine died and they showed that oil rig in Alaska, my first thought was, what in the did they venture off somewhere? And then when I saw Hoyt, I actually went, yay, Hoyt! And my kids turned and looked at me. I said, never mind, just go back to what you're doing. But I was so glad to see him, and I guess it's kind of, we've had such a long break from Hoyt, because let's admit, when Hoyt was on his way out the door, both you and I were a little bit fed up with him and his anger towards Jason and Jessica, because my whole thing was, you broke up with Jessica, you kicked her out, you called her a monster and all this other stuff, and now you're mad because yes, it was a weird situation, but he kind of brought that on himself with his behavior. So at that point, I felt like he was being a whiny little brat and he just needed to get the hell on. But I have missed his character, because his character was the only one that, well, aside from Sookie, that really anchors Jason as far as him being explicitly vulnerable and, you know, just not being the tough guy all the time. I really like the dynamic of Jason and Hoyt's friendship, and I felt that. So I'm hoping they can get that back before the show ends.
Yeah, because but if they get that back, then the pain has to come back too.
Well, that's true. But so, I don't know. Maybe I don't know. That is going to be kind of complicated. I do like the fact that Jason. I do like the fact, though, that Jason kind of spared him, knowing that his mom went complete batshit crazy before she died.
Went complete? She's well, you already.
I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to.
You're not nice. You're not nice. Don't do that.
I'm trying to speak nice of the dead.
Oh my God. You know what? She's alive under the dome.
You know what? I still have not. I have to get on that and watch it. But okay, that's crazy.
I mean, it's. I wouldn't say you have to watch it, but if you like, okay, yeah, I got some time, I'm gonna watch it. Then watch it. But okay. I wouldn't like say, oh my God, this is the next blah. You know, whatever. But,
okay.
But like more about Hoyt. I don't know. I just really, like, I wanted to hug him and kiss him on the cheek, because I really appreciated his and Jessica's story at the beginning when they fell in love. It was just so pure, so yes. Adorable. It just felt like it, like Bill and Sookie was fine, but Hoyt and Jessica, that's my jam right there. I mean, it was just so sweet, you know, and just so innocent in a way that in True Blood's twisted way, and how it ended was so sad. But I don't know. I got a thing for Big Country Boys.
That's well, yeah, there's that. So I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting, because I think Jason, a couple of episodes ago, maybe the last episode when he and Sookie went to go see if she was Hep V positive, he made an allusion to the fact that Jessica is probably the closest thing he ever felt to like real love. So I don't know how that's going to play out now that Hoyt's back. I think Jessica at this moment, with everything that's going on with Bill and the fact that Sookie just found out that she's a carrier, and I think, you know, trying to protect Adeline, Jessica's got all this stuff going on, and I think she needs someone like Hoyt to kind of bring her that peace and calm her out.
I don't want them back together. She went too far. She just seems like she'll spread her legs for Jason at any moment. Now, I don't blame her, but I just don't want Hoyt hurt again, which it seems like we said, and I cut you off, what her girl, his girlfriend is gonna flip the script. And I have a feeling with that girlfriend that, like, when she invited them to sit down, and then Hoyt was like, yeah, come sit down, I was just like, oh my God, Hoyt is like a swinger, and
you're inviting the chicken into the fox.
No, I was just like, I it would be weird if like Hoyt was a swinger and he was okay with his girl, you know, doing all that. And it just felt like I got a flash of something with that whole booth scene. And I was just like, something's not right. Hoyt seems, even though he's back and he doesn't remember everything, he does seem just a tiny bit darker. There's just a little dark spot on his soul. And I'm ready to see what that is.
I thought that too. It's like something, he's not, well, of course, because he's in town because his mom, you know, passed. But even when they first showed him this season, there was something like really different about him. His, you know, we're used to Hoyt being basically just smiling all the time, being kind of happy, being kind of clueless, but in a good way. And I don't see that now. So it's just kind of, I don't know. I'm curious to see how they're going to approach that whole little threesome, as far as the three of them. Well, not threesome that way.
I think there's going to be a threesome. Maybe throw Jessica in there. Make it a foursome. Oh, no.
Woo. That, no. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I just, because even with all of the same-sex pairings you see on True Blood, I just can't imagine any scene where Jason and Hoyt are doing that. I don't see that.
Yeah, now that you draw it a picture, I don't want that, actually. But did we have that before?
That's what I was just about to say. I think we had that, and I think that's why I can say I don't know if I want to see that again, because weren't there with like two females or two vamps or I don't remember. This is like season 4, season 5.
No. Jessica had given Jason her blood, and he was having a dream, and then he was having a sex dream with Jessica, and then Jessica turned into Hoyt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, the sex dreams have got okay, Arlene.
Okay.
Tonight.
Yeah. What was that?
Because I was totally into it, and then she woke up, and I'm like, wait. They do this to us they've done this to us with the whole Jason. And now I knew Jason and Eric wasn't real, but it was still just, and I still can't talk about that scene without cracking up. The whole Jason Eric scene, and when we got Bill and Eric a couple of years ago. Yeah. And what else? I think there wasn't there a Jason Bill almost kind of scene or something.
Maybe.
Like that? Or no, it was Sam and Bill.
Oh yes, you're right.
So they always give us these scenes and we're like, what is this really happening? Oh, it's a dream. Okay.
So
but yes.
It just feels like out of the blue, like everybody, like they did, we don't really have anything for Arlene to do, so let's just put her on the pool table and have her banging this vampire guy.
Well, you know what? If you really think about it, that's who Arlene was to begin with. You know, this is the woman who's been, married 5 times, and, you know, she was kind of known as, I guess, kind of one of the town sluts. So this is kind of that's a bit harsh, because she hasn't been with anybody since Terry died. So I wouldn't go that far, but just
was
to
she,
see her.
She was a town slut?
You have to remember.
Can you,
all the way back
can
to
you
season
be,
one.
Can you be a town slut and not have had Jason?
Well, that would be kind of weird, but I don't, but hey, who's to say she hasn't had Jason? We don't know.
Man.
We don't know.
I'm not messing with my mind.
I'm just saying.
Stop it.
I mean, think about it. Yes, that's Sookie's friend, but so was Tara, and there was a Tara and Jason very briefly, but it was
odd. Okay.
Did you?
No, I didn't.
So yeah, Arlene could have happened, but you have to remember when we met Arlene in season 1, she was with Renee, and I think Renee was like her fourth husband or her fiance or something.
At least she was marrying him.
Yeah, but still, 5. I mean, if she's anywhere near Sookie's, well, she's probably a little bit older than Sookie, but still, 5 times? That's a lot. And there's no telling how many people you auditioned for those.
Okay, well, you know. I just.
But the fact that she got some, yay, Arlene, let's give her a hand, because...
Have we ever seen her naked like that on the show before?
No. Wait, I'm trying to think. Maybe with Terry once? But I don't know. I think that calls for a rewatch.
No. Not just to see if Arlene was naked, no. Just
but,
not
you know...
We'd have a
lot of other good stuff to watch while we're watching that. Like, we could go all the way back to like season 2 and we could see eggs again and you know.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, speaking of which,
we're having a show. We're not
we might have seen Arlene before, because that whole season with eggs, remember that was the Maynard season where everybody was having orgies everywhere all the time. So we may have seen Arlene getting it on like that back in season 2.
It wasn't memorable, but okay, fine.
Yeah, yeah, okay. We'll just go look for eggs and just fast forward through the rest.
You know, I'll just Google him. I don't really want to sit through. I got so much other. Okay, anyway. So, yeah. Arlene, so what do you think is going to become of this situation? Because I don't know, like, why we're seeing this with her and why we spent so much time with her and this.
I'm thinking at this point, we've got 3 episodes left before the coffin closes, before the curtain goes down on True Blood. So I'm thinking maybe they're just trying to give us some kind of closure with all of the main characters, just basically to kind of give us a sense of, okay, well, this is probably who she's going to end up with. You know, they've been on the air for 7 seasons now, and Arlene has been very, very, you know, anti-vampire as far as her relationships, as far as who she's with, and the fact that she's kind of changing that now at the end. I don't know, maybe that's a
good
just
point.
You know, maybe they're just trying to close things up, give us something nice and clean, and then, you know, when the season ends, we can go into that book that shall not be named, and I can tell you exactly what happened to all these
Oh my god, you're so funny. So why has Merlot's changed to Bellflowers?
Because I believe that when Terry passed and left Arlene the $1 million, I think she bought Sam out. Because I think Sam, you remember, Sam is still technically the mayor right now.
Right.
So I think he, of course, you know, being a mayor and owning the, you know, the town bar probably doesn't work well together. So maybe it was just
a restaurant. It's a fine restaurant establishment.
I wish you could see the look on my face right now. How often do you really see people eating Emerald? I think
the
last time
they had AIDS burgers.
That was season 1. We are season 7.
Okay.
I think the biggest ornament in Merlot's is Jane Boldhouse, and she's a drinker. You can't be a mayor and you plug in Jane Boldhouse with drink after drink. It's not gonna work.
Oh my goodness.
It's not gonna work.
Okay.
You can't be mayor and be looked at as an enabler.
Maybe in bon ton you can. So I don't know. So, okay, let's go back to Bill a little bit with Dr. Ludwig.
Oh, Dr. Ludwig, yes.
Oh, Ludwig?
Yes, okay. Yes, it's Ludwig, the dwarf, yes. She hauled ass when she heard Niall's name, didn't she?
Oh, have we seen her before? I feel like we have, but I don't remember.
We saw her, if I'm not mistaken, back in season 2 with the whole Maynard thing. I believe she healed... because I think at one point, didn't Sookie get like her back pretty much scratched out or something?
Oh, yes, yes.
That was the doctor that took care of her.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I think we've only seen her like maybe once or twice in the show. She's a little more prominent in the books. But yeah, so she doesn't make an appearance very often.
So I thought she was funny. She talked a lot of crap, but then like not only she's like, I don't get surprised, I don't get scared, but in the scene we saw her get surprised and scared, and it was like funny for a throwaway, but I'm not really sure why we were supposed to care about that.
I don't either, especially given the fact that they're with Niall saying something about how they kill the dwarves. It's like, okay, we're not going to get the fairy war, we're not going to get any of that other stuff that happens in the book, so why even bring that up now?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the way you feel about the Bill flashbacks. Like, why are we seeing all of this now? Why are we seeing what's going on, how he met his wife? This might have been cool maybe a couple of seasons ago, but I still don't understand why they're showing it now. Unless somehow his wife is going to, she's going to reappear as a ghost and escort him into, I don't know.
Girl, don't do that. Because that's what I'm feeling like. Because I'm like, they having these heartfelt flashbacks. Will is all soft and lovable. He's going to die.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they're just showing us that. And they showed us the scene with her having the baby and Sookie not caring. You know, Sookie doesn't care about the whole baby thing because she feels like she'll never have one. You know, she can't be with any humans because she's always knowing what they're thinking. So she feels like she can't have a relationship with a normal human. She doesn't want to pass her gift on to a child. She's already said that before. And really, her let's be honest, her relationships with supernatural beings don't work out as well. So I think at this point, she's kind of stuck on the fact that she's not going to have a child, which makes me think, okay, now we have this cure in Sarah Newland. Here comes another prediction.
No, she
okay,
doesn't know Bill's about back. That yet. She doesn't know about that.
She doesn't know about it, but we still have 3 episodes left, so I'm making my prediction. Bill is going to get cured. Sookie is somehow going to become, I don't know, she's going to be able to become okay.
Are you giving me book information?
No, not at all.
Okay, so let me say one thing about so when he showed us Bill's wife having the baby, I didn't care either. It's not that you don't care about the miracle of birth. Mm-hmm. Somebody's in the other room dying and you're trying to get an answer about it. And you see a baby being born and you're like, okay, how does this help this guy over here? And
I'm about to tell you how this is because Niles,
you tell me.
The power of forgiveness and the power of love. That's what he was talking about. And you see Sookie went right on over there and opened her legs for Bill. I'm telling you, this is going to end on a Twilight note. She's going to get pregnant.
Oh, no. Mother. And that's our show, guys. Give us a call at 7-7. No. What? If that happens, Hanako...
Then I
when I meet you, I will absolutely strangle you with my bare hands. It's not going to be your fault, but I don't.
I'm just saying, when episode 10 comes to a close and we get on this podcast to talk about episode 10, if what I said is true, I want you to include this clip in that podcast. That's all I'm saying.
You make me oh my god.
I'm just saying,
Hanako, that
they're gonna pull a Twilight on us.
Absolutely cannot happen to this show.
They're going to pull a Twilight on us.
That I have wasted 5 years of my life just to like reach for my scissors and stab myself in the neck, because that's what that feels like right now.
Wait, 7 years.
It's been 7 years? Mother.
Seven
seasons. Okay, I'm just going to step over that like a corpse. Because I can't deal with that right now. I can't deal. Let's talk about Sarah Newland and the guys, the Japanese guys that's having this game. So I love him because I love his Southern accent. It's a terrible Southern accent, but to see
which
an
makes
Asian,
it all the more funny.
I know, but to see an Asian with a Southern accent reminds me of home, because that's what I see. And I was just like, oh my God, I love you.
Seeing that actor do the Southern... Because I'm used to seeing him fighting and just, this whole, the whole Japanese Southern cowboy thing, it's giving me life. It's just the funniest thing. And then, of course, with me being half Japanese, that's something I
never... Oh, my God. Hell, oh, my God. You are enjoying that.
I'm just sitting watching the screen like, this is what my mother sees when I open my mouth, because I'm about as Southern as they come. And so it's hilarious to me.
Oh my God, that, I don't know. He just plays it so well. Every time they put like on TV, they people are just really terrible about stereotypes. You want to see different characters of different races doing different things. And he's doing that. And it makes me so happy for whatever reason. It's refreshing.
So funny.
Yeah.
My word is oak. What does that mean?
Oh my God. Like, I was like, I expected my word is bomb. You know, I expected something else, but my word is oak.
Right.
He said it twice. And the only thing.
That's right. He said it twice. I was like, because the first time I heard it, I said, oh, maybe I heard that wrong. And then he said it twice. I'm like, oh, is that a thing now? Like, am I that old that I'm that.
No,
my word is oak.
Really? I was just like, well, maybe it's a Japanese thing that I don't know about. And I just oh my God. And the only thing I could think of too was ticket oak. And then I was just like, yeah, that's not.
Mm-mm.
But I really want to know, like, when they decided on the cars that they rode, like, who decided on what color and who got what color? Like, because they have, like, these candy-colored cars, a blue, a red, a yellow, and, like, a green. And they drive up in these cars every time. And, like, what's the alpha color?
Don't forget the orange one. They had the orange car.
Orange one too? Okay.
Like, I want the orange car.
You want the orange? Okay. That's great. I don't want a candy colored car. I just want to know, like, what's the lead? What's the hot color? You know,
I don't know.
What's the lead color, and why do they all have? Why?
It's funny because you have the leader who is the Southern Japanese cowboy, and then you have the Yakuza, and they're all driving up in Fast and Furious cars.
I know.
In Bonton. Or in wherever they are with Sarah Newland. Where are they with her?
Fellowship of the...
Oh, yes. The Fellowship of the Sun Camp now.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Where is that? Was it Texas?
I don't remember. No, because you know what? Because Jason was there.
But he had to travel on a bus, remember?
It's probably somewhere still in Louisiana or Missouri, somewhere in that general area. Because I don't think they would have gone too far. I think Texas was Vampire Stand and something else. But either way it goes.
Wikipedia, outside of Dallas, Texas.
Okay. So you've got Japanese cowboy, Japanese mercenaries / gangsters. You got vampires. One who is dying and is a model, and the other one who looks like cotton candy every time she steps out the door. When she opens up her mouth, she sounds like hell. It's just all those contradictions just in that one little group. Those scenes are just making me, I don't know. They just, I just sit there and I just watch and I'm just like, okay, this works. What else can you do?
Oh, I don't know. But I'm waiting for them to wrap up the Sarah Newland. And I just can't wait for her to die. Or
yes, please just put an IV in her and just call it a day.
Yeah, just drink her and be done with it. So, but I think that's about to happen soon. So let's talk about what we really want to talk about, which is Lady May and Lafayette.
For the 2 seconds we got to see.
No. We remember we still hadn't talked about the previous episode. So we get a chance to talk about how Lafayette finally gave in to her and went on a vision quest with her, and he actually saw Tara.
I need to know where that's going to, because and we made this prediction first episode. We knew we were gonna see her again this season.
You
we
did.
Knew
I was skeptical. You did.
Oh well, yeah. Yes, that's true. So remember that. Remember all the things I've been predicting all season. That's coming true.
Hush. So,
but where are they going with this? I mean, we see her. She's on a cross. She's got a snake, and she's speaking in tongues, and then she's running like she's in a Summer's Eve commercial. What is going on with her? Like, really?
I think that maybe perhaps Tara did not die, but went to ground, but was so injured she could not. You know how
whose plasma
listen. You remember an Interview with the Vampire when that one the Tom Cruise vampire was living on frogs and stuff at the end of the movie and
Lestat,
stuff?
Lestat, yes.
Lestat. You remember, I think she's doing Lestat.
Hmm.
Yeah, okay. I mean, like, why would they dig? Why would they be digging? Like, because vampires, if something happened to them, they don't have bones, and that's the only thing.
But you know what? But the only problem I have with that is the fact that makers can feel when their progeny die, and Pam felt Tara's death. So,
I remember that, but are you sure she just didn't feel near death or extreme something or another? Because if that was her first progeny, she just may have felt an extreme danger, but she never felt like a death before because that was her first progeny, but maybe it was so close to, I don't know, I'm pulling it out of my ass, but I mean, I'm trying to come up with a way to keep Tara alive. That's it.
The only problem that I have with your theory is the fact that vampire makers can feel when their progeny die. And Pam said a few episodes ago that she felt Tara's death. I mean, you got to remember, she was all the way on the other side of the world looking for Eric when Tara died. Mm. So I don't know if I can justify the whole Tara might still be alive thing because Pam felt it.
So what, I don't understand what would they be doing? Like, we're gonna dig up Tara's bracelet and then pour holy water on it and bury it so her spirit will be at peace? Because if we do something like that, I'm gonna be highly irritated.
Right, because I don't understand the whole digging holes thing too, and then the fact that you're digging holes in someone's yard and Lord, someone stays there, like the little girl walked in and I'm like, who is this child? It's a little late to be introducing new characters, and then when she looked out the window, I said, oh, I see where this is going. My daughter said it before anything. She said, Mom, and then just as soon as she said it, the little girl was like, Mommy. Oh, why y'all got to be digging up people's yards? Let Tara go. Let it go.
Well, so I thought what was interesting about the whole thing is that, so when Lafayette confirmed that she was seeing Tara, the husband came in, Preacher, and he was like, he still didn't believe her. And even though Lafayette confirmed it, and he walked away. So I think they may have broken up. I don't know. What's up?
Well, he told her, you have to choose me or that. And I'm sorry, dead or alive, you never tell a woman to choose between you and her child.
Especially some women do that, though.
That's a volatile woman like Letty Mae, who has been talking about nothing else for the past, I think at this point it's been about a 2-month period or something close to. No. Letty Mae is an addict. When she gets hold of something and she's addicted, she doesn't let go. What made him think this search for Tara or whatever she thinks she's seeing was going to be any different?
I wanted him and to then, hear her out. I wanted him to hear her out.
I did too, because for me, him supposedly being a man of faith, a preacher, a man of God, he has so little faith in his wife. And that bothered me. You know, he spent that episode talking to Willa about how Letty Mae saved him and how, you know, she was his everything, da-da-da-da-da. But then the one time that she's doing something that he can't explain away by reason, he walks away.
My problem with that, too, I mean, I agree with you, but the thing is that he lives with her and he's been going through this, like you said, for that 2-month time period. He has seen every time that she has tried to get blood out of Willa. He has heard her talking about this for months and months and months. He doesn't approve of Lafayette's lifestyle, right?
Probably not.
Right. So even if Lafayette did confirm it, it's not valid to him. So I feel like he was at his end because he had been drugged by Benadryl. I'm glad he didn't die. But
right, because she had him pretty well lit.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I think that he had had enough because he had to deal with her every single day. I mean, Lafayette only had to deal with her a couple of days. Albeit she did stab somebody.
But here's the thing. He knew who Lady May was when he got with her. He knew where she was.
Yeah, but she got a little better, maybe.
I don't know. You know,
she was gonna be your child died. You're just not gonna heal in 2 months. So
no.
I mean, he should have. Maybe he'll come around, but I do feel that I don't know. Maybe it's just me and whatever I'm going through right now. I just feel like a lot of male characters abandon women and treat them as disposable a lot. And I don't really like the trend in stories that I'm seeing with that. So I
right.
want that to not be a thing anymore because it's kind of depressing.
Yeah, well, on that same vein, let's talk about Sam and Nicole.
Mm.
Since you brought us into that so beautifully, what do you think Sam is going to do?
My problem with that, Hanako, is that I'm not attached to Nicole.
Me either.
So I don't know how he would be attached to her because, like you said before, what's her face wasn't even
the body cold. Was not Luna's body was not even cold, and Sam was in bed with Nicole.
Yeah, so I'm not just like you weren't. We're not attached to Violet and Jason. I'm not attached to Nicole. And I wasn't attached to Sookie with Alcide, although I was attached to Alcide.
Right. And that was my whole thing, too. It's like, why force these two characters to be together? Because if you think about it, last season, Alcide was an ass the whole season.
A good,
it's like the
soft,
last.
Firm
right.
Ass.
A solid
firm.
9 episodes, Alcide was an ass. And I was
firm
like, okay.
Ass.
I nope. love you, but you're being a dick right now. And then all of a sudden, oh, right. what, over the course of an episode and a half, all of a sudden he's changed his ways and now him and Sookie are happy and they're together. And no, I never bought their pairing. Even in the books, I didn't really buy them together. They had some chemistry, but not for me to say, okay, yes, this is who she needs to end up with for the rest of her life. So I didn't... That one, I think, is more feasible on the show than, say, the Sam Nicole. Because we really have had no time to get attached to her because she came in being bossy. Hey, I think, you know, I know you're a shapeshifter. You need to come out. No, we can work through this. We can help you out. Who are you and why are you here? And then all of a sudden, your girlfriend dies. You know, she shifts on national TV. She dies. You send her daughter off with a grandmother who y'all have been trying pretty much the whole damn season and a half to keep her away from just so you can jump in bed with this chick. And then all of a sudden she's pregnant. Oh, no. You know what? No.
And then not
no,
only
no,
is
thank
she
you.
Pregnant, she's talking about taking you away from
Bonton.
And the reason why I think he's going is because it's not Merlot's anymore. It's Balfour's.
I don't know. I don't think I see Sam leaving. I really don't. I don't see Sam leaving.
You know, though, the question that Arlene asked him, are you, if you leave, are you running away from something or running to something? That was such a great question. That is just, it was great because then she flipped it around. If you stay here, are you staying to stay away from something or
like
whatever.
can you live here without them? I think that was
or yeah.
Can you be here without them? And which I was impressed because I'm like, Arlene got all philosophical
what?
On us. Oh
no, not only did she get philosophical, she got love making woman
right.
got naked on the pool table. Like Arlene,
she was getting it on, but you know, she made a lot of sense. You know, not just for the show. That's a great life question. Like,
I know.
Okay, if you go somewhere, are you running from it or are you running from something? Are you running to something? And if you stay, can you live without whatever?
Yeah.
That was a great question. And I don't know. I don't think I see Sam leaving.
But what is he staying for then?
The rest of the town.
But why? Because Arlene said something that was really also said something else that was powerful, was that everybody she knows and loves is in that town. While that is true for Sam, he's not really attached to anyone. His mom, his dad is dead, his brother is dead. He doesn't, his Luna is gone, the little girl is gone. Nicole wants to leave. What does he have to stay for?
I would say, I think he would stay because those are the people, like they've been saying, that's the town where he felt anchored. That was the first town where he didn't run, where he put down roots, where he became a part of the community. It was the first town where he found someone who knew what he was and didn't flinch, didn't run, didn't, turn away from him. And aside from the crazy people, which I'm so thankful we have not seen those folks in a couple episodes, but aside from them, the core characters, the core cast, the core people that it looks like they're coming back to, those are the people who have really held him down, who have been there for him, who have, that's his family now. And I just really don't know if I see him leaving that to go be with Nicole. I think I see more so him convincing her to stay.
I don't want her to
Because
stay.
you're talking, I don't want, I mean, I really don't either, but again, we have the issue with her being pregnant. I don't want to see him abandon his child and then therefore start over the cycle that happened with him. But
That is
at the
true.
same time, he has more to gain by keeping Nicole in Bontoc than he would if he went with her. Because if he went with her, he's going to her world. We don't know what her parents are like. We don't know that her parents know that he's a shifter. We don't know what's going to happen when that baby is born. What happens the first time that baby turns? Will her parents still accept him? Will her community, where's she from, will they accept him? Because you have to remember, not even though shifters are out, they're not out. Luna was the only one, but you haven't heard about the whole shifter movement coming out like they did with the vampires. So Sam knows, even though, yes, Bontop is crazy, there's a lot of crazy stuff go, you feel more comfortable in the crazy than in the crazy you don't know.
You make a good point. You make a good point. So if he was normal, I would say that he didn't have anything to stay and he should live. But not, yes, you brought up the crazy that you know, and I think that it would, because if that child does turn, his parents, they don't know anything, and you just don't want to deal with that, you know?
Right.
That's going to
And
be
then at least
hard.
if the child turns, if they're in Bontemps, you've got a whole supernatural community that will help, not necessarily raise the child, but those people, the vamps and the people who are still there, the humans that are still there. Andy has made his peace with Jessica, Bill has made his peace with Andy for what Jessica did. They all have a little sense of community. So I think they'll be safer there as well, as opposed to just being out there with no one to really hold on to, or no one to really know them or be comfortable with them. I think Nicole is just uncomfortable, as she says, she said the town is full of crazy. But guess what? You were the one who walked into crazy. Sam didn't go looking for you. You came specifically looking for him because of what he was. So you need to make the decision, since you were the one who pursued it, you were the one who found it, you need to accept what you went looking for. What do they say? Don't go looking for trouble if you can't handle what you find.
Yeah,
She did that.
and she went for trouble, and then she slept with trouble and got pregnant with trouble.
Right.
That she went 2 steps further. Like, she could have backed out if she had a drawn a line and just left. But then she messed around, she got pregnant, and I
Right.
mean, what can you do with that? I mean, and then she kept it, and then they were in love, but then all of a sudden she's having pregnancy hormones and everybody's crazy. I think that maybe perhaps he can convince her to stay. If he has the conversation with her that you and I just had, he can convince her to stay.
Yeah,
But
because other than that, I mean, she asked for it. The first day you're with him, you get attacked, you get kidnapped by werewolves, you get attacked, you get bitten, your friends get killed. you still go find this man and you still sleep with him. You knew what you were getting into.
Well, I don't think she knew fully, but yeah, you know.
You know, you gotta watch out them people you open your legs for. You don't know what else. I'm just saying, she should have known. This is what happens with young, and let's not even talk about her age, because she's got to be probably, what, maybe 15 years younger than Sam, because she came on the show like she was young. Oh yes, I'm with the vampire whatever league, and we know what you are, and
that's why I say I don't think she knew fully what she got into. Doesn't change anything, but I think once she sat around and she
got kidnapped and got beat.
No, she's sitting at the table pregnant, and she's all of a sudden the mother instincts kicked in, and she just like had an epiphany, like, this is not okay. What the hell am I doing? So she crossed the line between like kid to adult when she realized like, I got to protect this kid, and this is a bunch of madness.
Right.
And so, I mean, I think I would have run too, I think, you know, after going through that ordeal, she needs to go home. She does. She needs to get grounded. She needs to be somewhere safe and sane, and then maybe think about going back to Bon Ton, because, you know, like, maybe after the parents and her have an argument or I don't know what, but I think for like a few months that maybe she just might need to go home. You need to go home sometime. Shit.
That's true, but I have a feeling if she leaves, she's not coming back to Bon Ton for him. She's going to come back to get him. I think if Nicole leaves, that's it. She's gone. Now, the question is whether Sam will follow her or whether he's going to stay. And I'll be honest, I don't know if I see that situation right there having a happy ending. I don't think so.
Oh, well, what can you do? Well, you know, I wonder, are we going to have a happy ending for True Blood? Like, what can happen that's going to be happy? I think Eric is going to live. I think Bill is going to die.
No!
I want that more than anything, for Bill to die. I don't know why. I just want him to die.
I want him and Suki to have their happily ever after with if their little Renesmee baby.
No. I don't. Or if he lives, I will accept him living if there is no vampire fairy baby. I will accept that. I want Pam and Eric to, I don't know what. I don't know.
I need Eric to be nice to Ginger for once.
Oh, that would be great if he just like smooched it and banged Ginger.
Just laid it on a good one.
That'd be some good stuff. Let's see, Jessica, I don't see, I'm just kind of angry with her right now because of Hoyt and then how she treated Jason and this other James character.
Yes.
I don't know, like, I mean, she had a hard time too. I mean, she was kidnapped from her home, forced to become a vampire, thrown into a crazy world. She's going to be a virgin forever. She didn't know anything about anything when she came. She was super naive. She didn't know how to get along with guys. She didn't know anything. She didn't have a woman to teach her anything, really. Like, her role model for the first beginning of it was Tara, for all, you know.
And Pam, a little bit of Pam.
Yeah. And so, like, I mean, how does she even know how to get along with guys? Somehow she stumbled upon Hoyt, you know, thank goodness. She didn't know how good she had it. She tossed that aside, did something with Jason, tossed that aside. Yeah. When is she going to grow up?
I don't know. The way that I kind of look at the whole Jason, I mean, well, yeah, Jason, Jessica, Hoyt thing, it's like, Jessica and Hoyt, they were first love. It was, you know, it was sweet. It was, like you said, it was pure. It was innocent. It was sweet. You know, they grew together. But for me, I feel like she's always had more energy, more chemistry with Jason. So I don't know, even if Hoyt gets his memory back, or even if he doesn't and they come in contact with each other, I just don't see them two being a long-term thing. I think Jessica could probably be the one to get Jason to settle down, and I don't know if that's going to happen.
What?
Now, if you see the preview, have you seen the previews for?
No, you know, episode? I never watched the previews.
Okay. So I won't say anything, but my whole thing is, it's kind of like with real life, it kind of mirrors. It's like your first love, that's the sweet love, that's the one that you kind of learn who you are in a relationship with a person. But it's that second one, I think, that's kind of the earth-shattering one, the one that you really, it's like now that your instincts or your sexual instincts have been woken up, I think, with her and Jason, that was just more, it was more raw. It was more, I don't know. I see more of a future with her and Jason than I would with her and Hoyt. And she and James didn't really have any chemistry to me at all. So I'm not even worried about that whole situation. I mean, honestly, we had that debate with the last episode, but I felt more chemistry with Lafayette and James when they were just getting to know each other from the little vampire human mixer. I felt more energy and more chemistry with them in those 5 minutes than I did the whole season with Jessica and James. So I don't know.
We have to remember too that James was like literally a whole different person. So
yeah, but I mean, even just character wise, I mean, they were okay as far as the actors, either actor, but just I guess with them recasting James, there was a lot more. I felt it more with James's character and Lafayette's character than I did
with Jessica
and James. It was just, it was kind of like, okay, it was kind of like they were coexisting together because they helped each other through a hard time, and they were more together out of necessity than love. Which was made clearly obvious by Lafayette with his speech to Jessica, because she didn't really know much about James. That's not somebody that you're in love with. That's not somebody that you plan on being with for a long time. If you have been with this person for months and you don't even know the basic things about them, that relationship, yeah, that relationship was not going to go anywhere. So I don't know. I honestly think Jessica just needs to end up with Jason. Jason can settle down. They can do away with Violet or send her back to her dominatrix house or whatever the case. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe Violet and Hoyt might be together.
Would you stop talking right now?
Wouldn't that be funny?
Hoyt is my sweetie pie. He's my innocent pumpkin peach cobbler. I can't handle him being dark.
I was going to say, you can't see Hoyt as a sub, really?
I mean, I could, but I don't want to see him in like a leather mask getting spanked. Oh my God. Oh, I want to barf. I want to barf right
being
now.
Being fucked with a big wooden dildo.
Okay, no. I hope that actor never hears this.
Yeah, I still want to know why she had a wooden dildo.
You know, I think that that wooden dildo was probably sanded down as to not give her splinters, and then she could use it.
Okay.
You sound unconvinced.
Whatever you say, yeah.
I mean, that's obviously the answer, because she's a vampire. She can't have splinters. And have you ever seen wood that has been smoothly sanded down? It could be as smooth as glass. I'm going to stop talking. Okay. I'm going to stop talking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that sounds like that can be a whole different conversation.
So, we have 3 more episodes, Hanako.
3. And then we're done.
I don't know what we're going to do. What are we going to watch now? Because we got Salem. We did this last time. We're going to find something. We're going to have our thing. But we've been True Blood, you and I, for so long.
Right.
This is you and I.
I think we started with Harry Potter and then kind of got into True Blood. And that's kind of been that's like been the those two things have been the bonding, the glue of our online friendship. So I don't know what we're gonna do.
We got Salem, and we got a few other things, and we're gonna get it done. Don't you worry about that. We got stuff. Yes. We got stuff. Yes. Okay, so have we talked about everything?
I think we have. If we haven't, then it probably wasn't worth mentioning, or we'll get it the next episode.
Indeed. Oh, there were two shirtless Jason scenes. So
yes, there were.
Yeah. So
yes, there were.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Jason with his headphones, vacuuming the carpet in his boxers. I'm going to miss this show.
And then him with his do-rag with football. Mm.
Yes, I don't know what it is about a do-rag. I just...
I'm not a fan of the do-rag, but him and that in that scene, it works. But in general, the do-rag does not do it for me.
It does on some people. On Jason, yes. Yeah. I don't know what we're going to do. I mean,
you put a rubber chicken on his head, and I'd be like, girl, he's so hot.
Yeah, from the eyebrows down or something. Yeah, I don't know. I can't do that rubber chicken, no.
I don't give a damn about what's on his head. But, you know, I was looking at the highlights in his hair, and I wasn't that fond because it was looking a little 90s.
This is Jason though, so that probably fits right in. I don't know. It's just I don't know. Do we want to make like I guess after episode nine we need to do a show where we just make like character predictions. Just once and for all, this is what's gonna happen with these characters.
Okay.
I think that's what we need to do.
Okay. You don't bring that up again. But I'm going to tell you one more thing about my threesome theory with Jason and his new girlfriend. Jason and Hoy's new girlfriend. Because they had the sandwich hug. Remember in the morgue? The sandwich
hug. Yeah, that was creepy.
Well, a sandwich hug?
The sandwich hug in the morgue next to Hoy's dead mother's body. That was just weird for me. That chick, I don't know. I'm getting a very weird vibe from her. But
I'm getting like she's half fae and half werecat or something. I don't know. But something, yeah, you're right. Something's not. She having a werecat because they disappeared all together, didn't they? The werecats.
Yes, yes, they did.
I'm kind of glad.
But you know, when you have characters that, you know, when you have people in the town that are, you know, putting you on inverted crosses, I'd disappear too.
Yeah.
there's absolutely no reason at all for me to stick around.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. And then the way that they kind of introduce them and then kind of push them back out, it's kind of like, okay, maybe that was one of those storylines that they realized was probably not going to work as well on TV, or maybe they just decided they had other stories they wanted to tell. But yeah, they didn't last very long.
I thought they were more interesting than the vampire the vampire
authority.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the vampire authority had the potential to be really awesome, but they didn't make it so.
You want to know why? Because they killed Chris Maloney five episodes in.
Girl, just stop.
That bullshit. Let's not even get started.
Let's end this. So, guys, that's our show. We'd love your feedback. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. We will play your voicemails on the show and respond to them. Hanako will blow you kisses. Mm-hmm. You can go to our website and leave us a comment on scifipartyline.com.
You can also find us online on Twitter and Gmail. I'm at HMR Potter. Kat is at Fancy Fembot. And you can reach us both at Sci-Fi Party Line on Facebook, Google Plus, and Stitcher Radio.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.
End of line.